CliffCentral.com. All right, good morning, everybody. It is Monday, CliffCentral.com, and we have got lots of stuff to talk about, lots to get into, and hopefully start your week on the right note. I'll introduce you to our guest in the next couple of seconds, and we've got plenty to talk to him about, too. Leanne will be joining us, too, so stick around for that and a whole lot more. All right, I suppose it's a shitty note to start on. In fact, it's probably the most shitty note to start on, but I saw Mark Pilgrim died yesterday, which is very, very sad. And you know, there were people kind of talking about that a lot online yesterday. And he very publicly shared the last few months, maybe even years of his, he shared his previous journey. In fact, he wrote a book about it. I think that Mark was an extremely brave guy, and to have put all of that out there is a choice. I wouldn't have made that choice, but he's a different kind of guy, and he was always very consistent. And I'll say that it's extremely sad when anyone, you know, radio is kind of a small business. We all sort of know each other, and we worked together for a few years at 5FM, and it's extremely shitty. And I'm really, really sorry for his family and so many of his friends. And you know, it's kind of like when you see someone going through all of this stuff, it immediately makes you think of people you know who've been through the same thing, people in your own family, friends of yours, and you know, cancer kind of hits everybody right between the eyes, which is never nice. So my condolences to Mark's family. You know, I would never say we were like close friends, but the guy definitely had his place and time in radio, and he made a contribution, which is, you know, it's going to be there forever. I suppose his voice is going to be in people's heads for many years to come. So go well, Mark. I'm sorry that you know, despite all your bravery and courage, sometimes these things just take you out at the knees, man. This cancer is a real bastard. And it could come for any of us at any time. So just, you know, don't be one of those people who sits around going, it's not going to be me, because you don't know that for a fact. And it's pretty shitty. It just really is. There's no other way to put it. I've said that now twice. It's the only way I can kind of figure it in my head. And I hate talking about this stuff because it makes me extremely uncomfortable. I hate thinking about mortality, you know. Just, it's awful. Let me bring in someone who's going to cheer me up this morning, because he does this for a living. This is his whole business. He is Craig Urbani. I mean, who doesn't know that name in South Africa, right? Craig Urbani is a legend of the stage and theater in this country, and many screen productions, it's worth saying, too. He's also one of those people who's just, you're incredibly good at being just, you know, in a world where I'm going to start off by complimenting you, because I mean, you've been a part of our Cliff Central family at a time too. You hosted Spotlight with Alan Ford for a while, and you know everybody in this business.
Well, I've been around. I've in this business, meaning radio. First of all, hello. Nice to be here. Thanks for letting me be here. It's great to be here. Gareth's talking to everybody and looking at me and nodding, and I'm thinking, can I speak yet? Because you haven't said that I'm here yet. So I'm sort of looking at you.
Did you know Mark, by the way?
I knew Mark. I saw a Facebook memory come up the other day of Mark on one side of me and Jeremy Mansfield on the other. Oh, and I was standing there. Jesus. It was when we were doing the Rocky Horror Show. So it's 2020. And I thought, wow, they're both gone. And it's scary. It's frightening. And as you say, it calls to mind your own mortality.
Yeah,
and
makes you're stop like, I'm go, the only one in this picture who's still alive.
I'm still around. Right. Yeah. And grateful to be that and happy to be here. Thanks for having me on. It's good to be here. Well, and I mean, yes, I did do that show with Alan Ford briefly and we loved that, man. And I saw Al at rugby 2 weeks ago and we said, come on, man, we got to.
I saw a picture of the both of you.
Yes.
And you put that on social media too. But we're going to talk about what you're involved in at the moment. But just to give everybody a little bit of background, because I don't want to give you a partial CV here. It's worth boasting about.
Are we going to delve?
No, I mean, it's just worth, it's, you know, you've deserved a decent intro. He's a multi-award winning actor, singer, dancer. He'll be playing
Khashoggi in the brand new production and major world tour of Queen and Ben Elton's multi-award winning rock musical, We Will Rock You, for which I think we played a promo just the other day. All South African cast, right?
Right.
You actually have you done this one before?
No.
No, you haven't done We Will Rock.
I've done a few rocks, Rocky Horror, Rock of Ages, but never We Will Rock You.
Okay. And then you did Buddy Holly famously. Yeah. That was incredible. Thoroughly Modern Millie, Chicago, Contact, Kiss Me, Kate, Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
I think I saw you in Rocky Horror. And we had film credits. I mean, you got a lot going on here. Music, you know, you've got these recordings, which, I mean, you have there are CDs, there are album CDs. Listen to me, how old I am. There are albums out there with your name on them. And lots of awards. It's also worth saying Naledi nominations for all kinds of awards. Fleur de Cup nominations and Green Room Awards, all kinds of things for the stuff that you've been doing. So thank you for entertaining us for so many years and keeping us entertained.
You're welcome. Thank you. Yeah, it sounds good when you say it like that. It hasn't always felt like that, but
Craig, when you were doing the show with Alan, you guys would the show was flying. It was doing really well, and then of course COVID came along, which just about destroyed the industry you work in.
Absolutely.
I mean, because people couldn't go to theater, it all shut down.
It was tough. I think the only parts of the entertainment world that kept going were I was doing a little stint on radio with Ryan Flynn at the time as well. And that was difficult too. We were doing a little thing on Mix and even doing a bit of broadcasting was difficult. I think the only thing that really carried on and thankfully was, TV series kind of fought the good fight and they kept going. They kept filming. They kind of have to, don't they?
Sure.
So some series kept pushing through. One of the ones that I'm on now carried on going right through COVID, as tough as it was. And we kicked
off. Which one's that?
Bittenlanders, which I'm on at the moment.
I mean, you've done a bunch of these. You've done like Isidingo, you've done Generations, you've done Bittenlanders, you've done Scandal. Legacy.
Yes. And Legacy started during COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, they got that off the ground. It's no longer with us. I'm not sure what all the reasons are for it, not going beyond a season two, but you know, there's a lot of speculation, but they got that thing up and going during COVID. So thankfully that kept me busy because as you say, the live aspect of what we did was completely gone, completely annihilated.
And I think people missed it because now you can see people are desperate to get out again and do things and entertain themselves and be entertained.
Well, there is that. I mean, you spoke about the Rocky Horror Show. That was the last, I don't want to say the last big show at Monty, but it was kind of the last big show before COVID happened and during COVID, during the years of COVID and now kind of post COVID, if we can say that, I think we can be bold enough to say COVID is we're post COVID. Let's hope so. Hey?
Not in Leanne Moll's house. She thinks she has, are you serious that you think you have COVID? I mean, you're like, who cares?
Surely not, Leanne.
You're the only person who's even spoken about having COVID in the last, I don't know, year and a half. Are you serious?
Yeah. Well, actually, friends of mine returned recently from a trip to Mauritius.
And not Wuhan.
No, not Wuhan. And they got COVID during the whole traveling experience. So it is still, sorry, I've like got hardly any voice.
My God.
It is still lingering. And yeah, just listening to this now and the way we speak about when we had when there was COVID, et cetera.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to think of pandemics or really big world incidents that affected everyone on a global scale. And if it was war, you know, that ended, that there were no more people running around in towns shooting people with guns. There was a clear cutoff line. But with this, there isn't. It still kind of lingers.
Is it a thing anymore? I mean, like you're not actually worried about like passing COVID on to someone killing them.
No,
because we know it doesn't kill anybody anymore.
I'm conscious about passing it on, you know, especially when you have family members who are older and more vulnerable. Then I do think of it, and to think that I obviously picked this up by being around people who were irresponsible about it. You know, It is what it is, and I'm in return being responsible and trying to stay at home. And if I do go out, I wear a mask.
Wow, you're going to stick. You're probably the only person in South Africa who's wearing a mask if you go out. That's very disciplined of you.
I thought it would be weird. I've been out to the shop once. Otherwise, I've been shopping online. But when I went out to the shops once, I thought people would look at me strangely for wearing a mask. I think it's become so ingrained in us that you don't even notice it anymore.
it was so strange doing the show. Now, hi, Leanne. Have you confirmed that it's COVID?
I haven't been for a test because I don't have to go into an office or anything.
Yeah, but she's paranoid.
So she may have flu.
She wants it to be COVID. I know how she is.
She's a
hypochondriac.
Come on, Gareth. I've never experienced symptoms like this in my life before. The weirdest.
Oh, so did you never have COVID during COVID? When it was?
I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
No, I don't think so.
Is this your first bout?
She's got FOMO. So basically for the last 3 years, she didn't have COVID.
What about me?
Yeah, what about me? Me. So now she thinks she's got it. I'm telling you, it's not.
It was strange to go to Manila. We were doing the show, We'll Rock You. We've been to Manila so far in Singapore. Manila, they were all still wearing masks. And it was very strange to the mandate actually halfway through our first week there. Mm-hmm. They said, right, you don't have to wear masks anymore. Because we came from here where we are now free, except for Leanne, obviously. And then we got there and everyone's wearing masks. It was very strange to go back to that. And halfway through, we heard the mandate. I took it off and then someone stopped me from going into a shop. And I said, no, we're fine now. But at night in the theater, in the audience, you just see little white masks and all the.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was bizarre. And then in Singapore, they were more relaxed. But if you went on the underground, if you used public transport,
yeah,
you had to put on a mask only there.
Okay. So there are still places where this is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely in Asia.
So what are these symptoms of yours, Ass? What's going on there?
Well, I first thought it was just part of the menopause with all the hot flushes.
Yeah.
Flashes or whatever they call them.
Because you're at that point in your life.
I'm at the uterus drying up stage point of my life.
Gary goes, yeah. Like he knows. My uterus expected that.
Are you kidding? My uterus dried out years ago.
My cleaner was here and she was laughing at me because 1 minute I had the fan on and then the next I had
just hold on. I think we can hear your vagina. Hold on.
No, it's just crickets.
I want to see those
just crickets. I've tried listening before. There wasn't much. So, it was the hot and cold and then losing my sense of taste and smell. And I still didn't really click until it became the actual symptoms that you think are flu, like the nasal drip and the voice and
the
upper respiratory, that you only get later.
There are people all over the world listening to this guy.
Well, you asked me.
Yeah, I know, but still. I mean,
I was like, that's a boring question.
Okay, then it was my fault. Anyway, we got Craig here. Listen, this guy's he's a phenomenon. Have you seen any of his show? Before we get to Craig, actually, you obviously heard about Mark Pilgrim. You got anything to say? Because you also worked with him for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. I knew him quite well. And I'm thinking particularly when I knew him, him and Ray White were very close friends. So I'm sure I'd like to actually reach out to Ray White because I'm sure he's probably lived through difficult times with Mark leading up to the end. I mean, Mark's been battling cancer from when I knew him, and I knew him 20 years ago.
Yeah, right. So that's a long...
His whole life, he's been battling against this. And I was thinking back to the days that we used to smoke in the studio. You know, while I was reading the news, I had a cigarette in my hand, and that's just the way it was. And
you could never tell from your voice.
And he would just sit through that. And I mean, his death was due to lung cancer. And I remember him saying, "I really don't like cigarettes. I don't like being around people who smoke, but he never really said why. In the meantime, he'd been battling that for so long, so many decades. And just an amazing guy. I know that people say this when people pass. I know they do. What an amazing.
Yeah, they always say they only say the nicest things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you had have asked me 2 weeks ago what I thought of Mark Pilgrim, I would have told you the exact same thing.
Yeah. You got to be honest about these things. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you see, we bring Craig here and then all we do is talk about other people. This is not good.
Unacceptable.
This is totally uncalled for. All right. So just tell us about this show that you're doing now, because you said you've done it in Manila already. And where else did you say?
Singapore.
Singapore is an amazing place.
Huh? Great city. Eh? Incredible city. I was there in 20, I was there 23 years ago, and it's just unrecognizable now. I mean, it's extraordinary.
It is the most incredibly futuristic, modern, technologically advanced,
clean,
capitalist, working society in all of human history.
Very functional.
Americans go there and they marvel. They think they've entered the future.
Yes.
Because their own airports and public utilities look like dog shit compared to Singapore.
No, it's certainly a city. It's on the move. It works. It functions. It's clean. It's pristine. It's incredible. It's an amazing place to be.
Yeah, it's like the poster child for anyone who believes that governments can achieve things.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. And so coming home was nice.
I don't detect any sarcasm in your voice. Okay, so you've been doing the show a while now, so you know it like the back of your hand.
Well, we know it. We had to when you go to Singapore, you have to kind of you take out all the sexiness and all the swear words and all
really?
The naughtiness. So you have to kind of
you censor yourself.
Yeah, you have to.
Like what kind of stuff? You can't have any. Is Freddie Mercury not gay in Singapore?
No, he's not gay. No, we don't like to talk about that Singapore. No, but
I still think Freddie Mercury. Straight in Singapore. How? Why he die? I don't understand. What happened to him?
So we had to take out a bit of the sexiness from songs like Fat Bottom Girls and which.
What do you call them?
But now they were just girls. We took out some of this, and I remember that from when we did Buddy there years ago. I did the Buddy Holly show. Then we had to take out it, and someone comes and watches and checks on you. And then goes, no, this is okay. You can put this out there.
So the government sends a guy to sit there and check that everything's all right.
I remember that. I actually met the prime minister when we did it there, Buddy, there way back when.
You must have shut yourself.
That's no big deal.
I mean, you see, this is the thing, right? And I don't want to harp on Singapore too much because we do want to talk about the show. But for a government to be able to do what they've done, you need unquestionable authority.
They're
very strict. I mean, it is, for all intents and purposes, a free society, but there's stuff that you just can't do. No one does drugs there.
No.
You don't drop litter on the street. Uh-huh. You follow the rules.
Chewing gum.
The chewing gum is the old the thing everyone always talks about. No chewing gum in Singapore. You're not allowed. I did ask if I could buy some somewhere, and they did say no, and just looked at me like,
no, well, you want to go to jail?
Are you a fool?
Did you think at any point this is the kind of place I want to live?
You know what? It is. There are elements that are appealing just in terms of the cleanliness.
How it works.
It's a functionality thing.
Everything, South Africa, you switch on the lights and we're so impressed.
Exactly. Oh, it came on 15 minutes early. Thank you, Eskom.
You have water.
So
you're
grateful.
Like, you're like, oh, there's clean water.
Oh, it's working. Yeah, no, exactly. Sure. I mean, it's just everything is pristine, on time. It works. It's functional. And so you feel that, you know, especially when you come from here, you kind of feel that everything is just on point.
Right.
And there is an appeal to that. There is a little bit of a kind of, I don't know. It sort of lacks a little. I like a bit of gritty. I like a bit of edgy. I like a bit of unknown.
I keep saying to people, like, we've got a nice mix.
But sterile. Maybe that's the word, sterile.
I know South Africa's got major challenges, but I'm almost – this has come up a couple of times on the show, so it's nothing revolutionary from me. But I kind of like the fact that we're a bit like the Wild West here.
I do like that a little bit as well. You do what you want, and
as much as so much doesn't work and it's very frustrating and we would love things to be a little bit more functional and we'd love a government that didn't steal 99% of stuff. If they just stole 20%.
Yeah,
we'd be okay with government. We'd be fine with it.
We'd be all right with that.
But obviously, we have to put up with a lot more nonsense. I still think better a place where you can make your own rules as an individual. And nobody really cares about the government. No one respects the police. You know, in South Africa, you're left to your own devices, which if you're very poor is a hell of a shit place to be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you have nothing in South Africa, you really have nothing.
Yes.
No one's coming to rescue you.
Yeah.
And if you are extremely wealthy, you don't give a damn.
That's right.
And if you're somewhere in the middle, you kind of, some of the time, are very, very frustrated and you have to have private healthcare and private education. All of this costs an enormous amount of money. But there's still a way to make it work for you.
That's right. And maybe it's that I kind of miss that sort of, that you've got to grab it. You've got to make it happen. You can bend it a bit. You can push it. You can flex your muscles, but there you can't.
And you've been all over the world. What is it about? Are South African audiences great just because they're your people and this is your country, or are we not that great? I mean, line us up with the rest of the world.
I think it's hard to judge because when you're doing a show here, there is that familiarity and you're home and people know people and it's like, oh, who have you got in tonight? When I was on the West End, you get a cross section of people. So you're never just doing it for an English audience.
No, so they're from all over the world.
So that's different. And there you definitely have good and bad nights. Here there is a sense of consistency that I don't know, maybe the South African audiences almost put a little bit of responsibility on themselves to make tonight happen. Like we're here. We kind of know these people. They're from our country. They've brought the show home and we're going to make it a good one, you know? Having said that, I think South African audiences are quite responsive. Is that your
outfit?
I think that's Rocky Horror.
Let's not get people confused. we'll talk about your relation. You look just like David Hasselhoff in this picture, except much younger, obviously.
In that one there?
That's from We Will Rock You.
That's from We Will Rock You, yeah.
Don't you think he looks like the Hoff, Leanne?
David Hasselhoff, I wouldn't have said that. Would not be the first thing that I said.
I don't mean in a shitty way. I mean in a good way. Like
the Vampire Diaries, that Nordic guy.
Yeah, he's kind of fierce. He's kind of fierce looking there, Khashoggi. Yeah.
So it's Khashoggi. Now the real Khashoggi is an Arab billionaire.
Yes. And there's a journalist.
Yeah, there was the one who was killed by the Saudi government and hacked into pieces and put in a suitcase.
That's not him.
You'd have to be nervous about performing this in Saudi.
And you need quite a big suitcase because look at those shoulder pads.
I know.
So
that outfit's amazing.
The costumes are extraordinary. Standing next to me, there's Killer Queen. Yeah. Who they've kind of in this version made a little bit of a kind of cyborgy, as you can see.
Yeah.
And Londiwe is playing her, and it's the old show. It's the show that was in London that has the stamp of approval from Brian May and Roger Taylor and written by Ben Elton. It's not the greatest book in the world. You know, it's not going to win Pulitzer Prize for what's on the page, but you have the songs of Queen. Which, you know, that helps.
Damn right. Those are the greatest songs.
And I mean, I battle with jukebox musicals where they take pop songs or in this case, sort of 70s glam rock and pop rock songs, I suppose, and try and forward a narrative through them. It's not always easy to do. I would prefer to do a show about Queen and then you perform Queen songs. You'd rather tell a story about Queen and perform Queen songs. But this is one of the jukebox musicals, they call them, where they've created a narrative. So we're telling a story here and we're doing it with the help of, songs like, We Will Rock You and Bohemian Rhapsody, another one Bites the Dust and It's a Kind of Magic. So you, Seven Seas of Rye, you name it. So One Vision. So all the songs you want to hear are there. And we got a great young South African cast performing them. We got this boy, Stuart Brown, who's straight out of Lambda, which is the performing arts school at the Theatre in the Bay in Cape Town.
Okay.
Singing Freddie Mercury in Freddie Mercury's key and doing it with ease and doing
that's
it eight
incredible.
Nights a week.
Yeah. I would go to the show just to hear that.
Well, he does it with such ease. It almost takes some of the –
holy
I said to him, can't you struggle more? God, you make it look like you're working more.
How old is this guy?
He's early 20s, 23.
Oh,
24.
Wow.
Yeah, he's doing it. And
that's incredible because, I mean, listen, everybody marvels at Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, the range.
Incredible.
Yeah. So he's doing it. And also, you know, when you hear Freddie, whenever you hear live concerts, Freddie alters the melodies because it was hard for him to do it every every night. This boy can't do that. He has to do it as per, you know, as it's written.
You could even every argue single night. In some ways he's more consistent than Freddie. He's more, he's forced to be.
As is Adam Lambert, but I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. He's incredible.
Yeah.
That man sings Freddie. Amazing. I mean, I think I know there's purists out there who would shoot me down, but I think it's a tribute to Freddie, how he sings Freddie's songs. And again, better than Freddie.
But, wow. You're going to be, people are going to kill you for that. They're going to be some Queen and Freddie Mercury fans.
But he ain't Freddie. Yeah. That's the difference, you know.
Wow. Okay. So Matthew says that outfit makes you look like a Nazi.
Yes, it did. He is a little bit Nazi. He is. Yes. Khashoggi is, he's trying to kill rock music and live music. Okay. And so, yeah, he is Nazi in his, outlook. Yeah. Nazi-esque.
All right. So we got a couple of comments here. By the way, you can call us 0832-955-769. We're doing the phone calls this morning. As usual, you can give us a shout and we will put you on the show. You just have to dial that number like you used to do in the old days before comment sections. So, you know.
Do you remember that the one girl we had recorded doing phone calls? She's like, phone calls, we get your phone calls, we get your phone calls every day.
Yes. I think I've still got those somewhere. I've got to dig them out, get people calling in again.
She was so vibrant.
Yeah. There are a lot of people here talking about about how they got COVID. I mean, nobody cares. It's only Leanne, but Ramita there. You and Leanne can have a conversation about this. She's like, yeah, had the first strain.
That I'm so late to the party, Gareth. So unfashionably late.
So unfashionably late that nobody is left to care. Really, it's just awful. All right. So you are in quite a public relationship with someone who we know from the show, from showbiz as well.
Yes. Yeah. She's a wonderful Afrikaans
cool story.
Actor and, very loved and,
How did you guys meet?
On Binnenlanders.
Yeah. Okay. So this was a set romance.
Yes. Well, it was a set friendship. I came in there as a call actor and Cindy Swanepoel is who we're talking about. There she is. The most beautiful woman in the world. And she, is a very established character. She plays Annelies Roux on Binnenlanders, has been there for, going on 8 years. And wow. She's fantastic in this role. And so I arrived there as a sort of guest artist. You must stay in your lane. You know, you don't want to arrive and go, hey, how you doing? So I got in there and we were working. There was no time to play around.
Keep it professional.
What does she say in one of the interviews? She said there was no time for cuteness, for being cute. Uh-huh. We were working, but we got on like a house on fire. We had a wonderful chemistry. She's got the most fantastic sense of humor. We laughed. We laughed and played hard. And then we got on the floor and we worked hard and we did it. And then I did that first arc and I left. And then they kindly wrote another little storyline for Jeremy and I came back and it was during that second stint there that I sort of going, hold on a second.
This girl's quite, she's compelling.
She's extraordinary. Oh. And, we almost a year later, we're engaged.
Jesus, man. Congratulations. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you.
That's fantastic.
I'm very, very, I can't believe it. It's unbelievable for me. Yeah.
There we go. You see, Leanne, there's still hope for all of us.
I mean,
love will always triumph.
Yes, absolutely. And I literally did not think this was on the cards for me. I didn't think this was going to happen. So I've been blindsided and I'm very happy to say, yeah, right. Yeah.
And it's so difficult not to end up dating someone who is in the same kind of business because that's always how people used to meet. You know, I was talking to someone the other day about how HR departments have made it so difficult. If you work in a bank, the chances are that you would have met someone in the old days in the bank. You're not allowed to meet anyone at work because it's a slightly different situation if you're in TV or in, you know, musicals or whatever else it is, because you kind of, there isn't an HR department like there is in these corporations.
Yeah.
But in a corporation now, if you even like wave to someone with a cheeky smile on your face, you could basically get fired.
Find yourself in trouble. Yeah.
This, isn't that true?
No,
I mean, it's like such a problem. Where do people meet?
Well, that's exactly what I was saying. I was sitting with my mother having these intense conversations saying it's never going to happen for me. I'm 52 now. So I've never been married.
You look damn good for 52.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. And literally saying to her, I don't go out partying. I don't drink.
Where are you going to meet people?
Where am I going to meet people? And she always used to, and she's not wrong. She would say, well, I don't know, maybe join some kind of.
How old is Candace?
Walking, Cindy.
Cindy,
she's younger than me, 41. 41.
Okay. Yeah. That's not the biggest age gap in the world.
It's a bit of a gap, but.
It's not insurmountable.
She seems okay with it.
How do her parents feel about this older man?
Exactly. So far, they seem fine.
They're all right with it.
But I used to say those exact words. I used to say, how will I meet someone? And then, you know, people say, look, you don't meet anyone that's going to last in a nightclub or
no, you won't.
So I accept that. But, I mean, I literally used to be sitting on my couch sometimes and think, get up, Craig, go out, do something. And I would do it. I'd get up, go out, arrive there and go, cool, I'm going home. And I'd turn around, walk back to the car, go home and think, I don't know how to be proactive here. And then of course there's the online thing. I've never been a fan of that.
No, I can't,
chemistry thing.
You can't anyway, because there's probably someone with a fake Craig O'Barney account who's already trying to score and he's probably cleaning up.
He's probably doing quite well.
I'm sure he's doing all right. Yeah.
with the over 50s.
No, but so, I mean, listen, again, 50 is not what it used to be.
Yeah, well,
when our parents and grandparents were in their 50s, they were like getting ready for retirement. And here you are doing like busy, crazy, coordinated, choreographed dance moves on a stage and singing your lungs out and touring the world and, you know,
can't complain.
That's in your 50s. That's damn fine.
With an extraordinary woman in my life. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you've met this amazing woman and now you've got a relationship. I mean, you're basically entering your prime.
Living the dream now. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I wasted a lot of I was all over the place. I wasted years as well. So I think I'm doing things slightly in reverse. I think I'm fitter than I've ever been now. I'm in better shape than I was when I was in my 30s and early 40s. You know,
we're gonna save this because we're gonna talk to Dr. Hanan about this too. He's our resident psychologist, and I'm sure he's got some things to say to us based on your example that might help a whole bunch of us who are thinking about whether or not, you know, it's relationship time, whether or not we're too old, whether or not. There should be an age gap. What kinds of, and maybe there are things that you guys have encountered that would be instructive to the rest of us.
Right.
So we'll get into that.
So we're going to chat to him. Good.
Let's look at a couple of stories in the news. I want to hear what you two think of this, Leanne and Craig. Mm. And then we'll also take your calls, 0832955769. So let's look at this. First of all, the story about Mark Pilgrim. He was 53, hey? So by no means old, stage 4 lung cancer. Just to give you all the facts here, then Lloyd Madurai, who was the managing director at Hot 102.7, that was the last place that Mark worked, said our hero and brother, much-loved radio personality Mark Pilgrim, lost his battle with cancer yesterday morning, Sunday at 10:45. He fought valiantly until the end. He passed away peacefully with his fiancée, Adrian, in her home. They were both together for his last breath. So, very, very sad story. I don't know what else there is to say. There'll be many tributes pouring in this week, I'm sure. And, you know, in July, he revealed that he was doing his 7th round of chemo and that his latest scans had shown a further significant reduction. But, you know, this cancer, because it's your own body turning on you. So there's just no way to effectively beat this yet. And I hope to God that somewhere in the next 10 to 15 years, they managed to find some way for us to beat this.
Is it my imagination or do you just hear about it more? Is it because I'm older? I feel like the word comes up more, that more people.
What do you think, Leanne?
No, it's been consistent throughout my life. I mean, my grandfather passed away from cancer when I was a year old. And since then, I've lost family members and friends consistently. So for me, it's been a consistent journey. It's just, it's incredible to think, and sorry to get back to COVID, but how quickly people rallied around to, find vaccines and, you know, do such intense research. cancer's been sitting on the to-do files on people's desks for so long.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It's just really sad and frustrating.
Well, you know what else is sad and frustrating is watching anything President Ramaphosa does. But apparently today is the day. Dun, 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 dun. He will announce changes to his executive. So I know we've been waiting so long that many of us have died just, just waiting for him.
That's like number one on our
In fact, Mark Pilgrim sent me a WhatsApp on Saturday night saying he was waiting for the cabinet reshuffle. Anyway, see if that happens. And then I don't know if you've been paying attention to this, but I only became aware of it over the weekend. Apparently the WITS SRC have been protesting, and apparently they also excluded the media from covering their protests. I saw a couple of videos last week of people pulling signs off of street poles and, you know, just generally destroying shit. And I thought, oh, okay, it's got to be students at university, because it used to be that uneducated people behaved like this. But then I suddenly realized, like, universities are full of uneducated people now, because they've become places that that perpetuate an infantilism, that people are held in their adolescence for far too long by these institutions. They're given accommodation, they're given food, they're given free classes in many cases. There are people who are put into university because they think that this is a key to them being employed. In fact, they attach huge importance to university because it's the way out of poverty for many people. But what it ends up doing is creating an environment where people just get pointless degrees, and they extend their lack of responsibility for an extra 5, sometimes 7, sometimes even 10 years studying bullshit like, you know, anthropology.
Yes, exactly.
Which no one needs.
And pulling signs off walls because they're so entitled, because they want everything for nothing. And
So I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, but apparently the president of the WITS SRC said that if they don't get free accommodation, free food,
free education,
then there's going to be hell to pay. The guy actually said that they will bring South Africa to its knees. Now, I don't know who this guy thinks is going to pay, because if your education's worth anything, you should have to pay for it.
Mm.
It means that the lecturers, the source materials, the practicals, all the stuff you have to do at university, someone has to do that. In other words, someone else has to pay for that. Who does the SRC of WITS think? Who do they think might pay for this? And if it's the responsibility of everyone else in South Africa and not them, I don't want to pay for your education. I could give a shit about you being educated or not.
Yeah.
I don't have a responsibility. You're not my child. I didn't make you. I'm not paying for you. Straight up, I refuse. If the higher education department thinks that it can take a part of my taxes to pay for someone else's education, I'm already pissed off.
Yeah, and no, that's beyond baffling.
Anything from you, Leanne?
Just thinking about how different it was when we Gareth and I were at varsity. It was still really quite a privilege, and you were very aware of the fact that your parents were paying heavily for it. Not that that didn't mean that you'd end up bunking and smoking weed and failing first year.
Yeah, I wasted. I just wasted time at university. Me too.
But otherwise,
total waste of time.
I didn't realize how things had changed so much. And now, when you talk about it, I think, yeah. I mean, when in our time, there were always one or two students who'd been there for about 10 years because they kept failing. But now to think that there are people who are kind of doing that on purpose to stay in the lifestyle.
Well, also, I mean, there's another part.
Desperate to move on.
There's another part of this that no one's talking about, and that is that universities have become unbelievably expensive. And especially, again, if you want to spend the first 10 years of your working career paying off your student debt, I don't think it's worth getting that degree.
Yeah.
Maybe there's another career that won't have to cost you hundreds of thousands of rands before you've even started a job.
You know, Leanne, I completely agree with you. And what Leanne is saying about back in our day.
Oh my God.
It's so true. there was that thing of, we don't live in a world now where a degree guarantees success or guarantees work or guarantees money or guarantees anything. But then it was like, well, if you didn't go to university, you weren't preparing yourself for your future. You know, if you were lucky enough and your parents could afford it, as Leanne's saying, one of the biggest driving forces behind me getting my degree was I've got to do this. My folks are paying a lot of money for this. And they kept reminding me of that fact. But, it's a very different kind of, situation now because it doesn't give you the same guarantees that we thought it gave us then. It was like, oh, if you're going to university, you're taking your future seriously. You know, first of all, you're lucky enough to have this opportunity. Someone's going to back you with the money. You better make this work. You better pass.
And please stop destroying shit. Yeah. Like this country is, we're on the bones of our backside in terms of basic infrastructure, water and electricity. Don't go and take down the street signs too because you're angry. I mean, you are not allowed to behave like a 12-year-old.
Yeah, don't destroy. Yeah.
Having a temper tantrum, it shows me that you're actually not ready for university in the first place. You're about to enter a place where you are supposed to learn, where you're supposed to question, where you're supposed to be adult and curious and inquisitive and thoughtful. And you're showing me that you behave like some kind of creature that hasn't yet developed its cerebral cortex properly. It hasn't, exactly. It hasn't developed the frontal cerebral purpose of being able to meter and measure the reptilian brain. Like until then, I can't take you seriously. So it's almost like if you do that stuff, if you're going out and wantonly destroying public infrastructure, you kind of shouldn't be allowed to go to university anyway. They should just immediately put you on a list of, okay, you're not good for this.
You're not ready for this.
Yeah, you're not right now. You need a 5-year cooling down period where you go and experience the world and maybe, you know, you learn how hard it is for other people who are not asking for free education, who are already working. And let's talk to you then. Can't take you seriously like this. And I know that for many people, this sounds very unfair, but I'm starting to think that there were kids a couple of decades ago who were already at work in their teens, you know, while they were still at school sometimes, because now you can't do that, obviously, but there were kids who were doing waitering jobs. They were out there selling stuff. They were fixing things for other people. And you're talking about people who are 5 to 10 years older than that, and they're still not prepared to enter the workforce or do anything. Yeah. They want everything done for them. I'm not going to take those people seriously.
Absolutely not. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. All right. Well, Slippery Pickle says, my parents couldn't afford to pay university fees, so I opted not to take a student loan. Instead, I took a trade. Why the fuck should I have to pay for someone else to go to university? Yeah. Well, I think that's a lot of people's opinion.
There you go.
Dear Linda says, should we? Okay. I'm not sure what's going on here. Dear Linda, I'm going to try and paraphrase you, if you don't mind. Should we stay away from the protest on the 20th or join it? Should we all do something together as South Africa to put our foot down? No, I don't want to join any protest. I've said before, I don't do protests. It's just not my thing. I don't think it achieves anything. And I think this country is up to here with protests.
Yeah.
From Zuma Must Fall. Do you remember those protests?
Yes, yes.
To the trade unions.
And fees must fall. That's how the must fall thing started, I think.
Correct.
It was.
And
which was also university linked, yeah.
Right.
Fees must fall.
Dr. Robin says your parents paid and you got a student loan and a part-time job on the side. Well, that's of course if you have parents who could have paid.
Yeah.
Because that was that's a serious gripe that a lot of people have, which is I think a worthwhile thing to discuss. So we have NISFAS and we have a whole bunch of means and ways for people who are prepared to work hard and get good marks. For them to get into university.
To get into university.
But to pay for everybody? Hell no. Sorry, that's not on. My parents didn't pay for my studies, says Famous Mama. I worked and studied for it. Even though they could have paid, my dad taught me, my dear, you steal with your eyes and you learn everything. There we go.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
Tyron says, put them on a boat with the other socialist wannabes and post them off to Cuba or Russia. Let them get a real taste of everything for free. Well, Russia's no longer socialist, but yes, okay. Cuba, also not really. In fact, I think you would struggle to find a truly socialist country in the world right now because everywhere they've tried it, it's been a disaster.
Yeah, looks good on paper.
Anyway, Sven, just to end off this conversation, Sven says, hey, GC, I did my carpentry apprenticeship in South Africa. Then I went overseas where I learned even more. Debt-free, who needs university? Well done. There we go, Sven. All right, so let's turn our attention now to Dr. Hanan, who is our regular on a Monday morning. He helps us to figure out our way around some complicated things. And Dr. Hanan, how are you this Monday?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you guys?
No, we're good. Craig's here in the studio with us. Leanne's at home.
Hey, Craig.
And I'm excited to say Cindy is here too. Cindy Swanepoel. Hey, nice to see you, Cindy. Thanks for joining us.
How's it? Yay. Thank you.
You're one of those people who looks, I mean, you're not in person, you're on video, but in person, you look better than your photographs.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Well, I hate posing, so maybe that's why.
I know, but I mean, this picture of you and Craig, you look better on video and in person than you did on there. Very
I think
nice.
You're, I think you're being dwarfed by my beauty in that, oh, in that picture. Cindy.
Are you two?
Yeah.
Are you two, you're not competitive, because Dr. Hanan, that's going to open up a whole can of worms. But let's just talk about a couple of things here, Doc. There's so many things to unpack with these two, and I'm very, very excited for them that they are engaged, that they're about to, or that they have already started a life together. There's something about this which I think is unique in the modern world, because there's so many people who can't get going in a relationship at work. It's difficult for a lot of people. There are all kinds of rules that apply now that were never there before. But these two managed to make it happen. There's a small age gap, and that's also something worth discussing. But what do you guys argue about? Like, if you had to identify any areas in your relationship that you'd like Dr. Hanan to maybe help you with, I'm not saying there's a problem, what would you say they are? Craig, you go first.
Are there any areas of that? I don't see things repeating. I don't see the same things coming up for us.
That's good, right?
Yeah, which I think
is that
good.
Right? Is that good, Doc?
Yeah, that is good, because conflict in a relationship is actually not only okay, it's actually important. It's necessary. When I see couples and they say, oh, we never fight, and we're getting a divorce in about 6 months. Because conflict allows you to learn about the other partner. We change all the time. You are not the same person that you were 6 months ago. You're certainly not the person that you were 6 years ago, and you're not the person that you will be in 6 months' time. So we change all the time, and you've got to re-fall in love with the person that's in front of you, because you're actually re-falling in love with a different person every 6 months. So how do you get to understand the person? And what naturally happens is needs change, wants change, likes change, preferences change, and conflict allows you to, it's a message to the other partner going, hey, you need to see me differently. You need to understand me differently. You need to approach me differently. You need to satisfy different needs. So it's a difference between successful and unsuccessful relationships. An unsuccessful relationship, go through conflict, don't learn, and keep on repeating the same problems all over and over again. While successful couples go through conflict and upgrade their understanding of the person that's sitting in front of them. But getting a 51 and I believe, or 52 and 41, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the age gap is irrelevant, because as we grow older, that, you know, I always tell couples the age is not the problem. The issue or the question is, are you in the same phase in life? Because Craig, if you were 51 wanting to not to have kids, you don't want to, you've already settled down, maybe you have your own kids, and Cindy, maybe you are wanting to start a family. Now you have different values and different visions for the relationship.
Of course,
naturally,
of course.
And that's the kind of conflict that you can't compromise on. You can't compromise on, you know, 0.8 children. So you're either going to be 100% one way or 100% another way. But if you're on the same phase and you share the same vision, then it can work beautifully, especially with good communication.
Yes.
Dr. Hanan, is there someone testing out a motorbike in your back garden or something?
I think the neighbor, should I close the door? Would that be easier?
I think probably, yeah. I mean, I'm hearing like someone making donuts on your front lawn. That's what it sounds like. So I don't mean to pry, and it's probably none of my business.
Shall be back.
Have you and Cindy had the conversation about kids at all? Because it's what he's talking about is absolutely right. Like, That's got to be something that people talk about in the beginning. Otherwise, it's going to be a disaster.
Absolutely. I love what he's saying about it's not about what age one is or what age the other is. It's about what phase of your life you're in and is that compatible? Yeah. And are you in the same phase? And I love also what he said about you don't have to always agree. It's good to disagree. It's good to have conflict. It doesn't mean, oh, we're in trouble or, oh, no, things are not going well. I love what Ricky Gervais says.
And there's growth with that, eh?
Yes, exactly. It's arrogant to think that you're going to go through your entire life and no one's ever going to disagree with you. It doesn't make them wrong and you right. You must be open to that. As humans, that's what makes us colorful and interesting. And that's part of our fabric and the substance that you learn from people, even people that you don't think you can learn from. Someone that you think, this person can teach me nothing. If you're that closed off, you're not open to receiving from anybody. So I love what you said, Doctor, about the same phase. And I love that disagreements don't mean problems. Yeah. Having said to answer you, Gareth, Cindy and I spoke about it. I've got a daughter who's 16 years old. I've never been married, but I've got a 16-year-old. And when Cindy and I met, I said to her, you know, where are you on this? Because I would happily do that. I would love to have a child with you if that's what you want. I'm also fine to not have a child with you if that's not what you want.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What did you say? I've never wanted to have a child. I kind of established that when I was in my 30s. I was like, okay, I'm cool with not doing that because I never met the right man, if that sounds... I mean, I just never wanted to have a child with anyone. But okay. With Craig, I'm like, oh, yes, I think I can do this, but I'm not really keen on having one. So we've established that it's all right if we don't have a child. Yes, but with him, sure, I can go through those challenges.
I think that's quite beautiful, actually. So it's down to the person, not just your own needs. It's who you're with as well. All right, so Doc.
But you know, you know, I want to add something that could be quite useful, especially when you get engaged or when you meet somebody later on in life. The major difficulty that I see, at least in my practice, is you are so set in your ways. Because remember, Craig, you had a life, literally a full life of kind of working it out on your own and getting into your own habits and interests and likes and dislikes. And you have certain routines and certain foods that you like and certain routines that you have with your friends and your hobbies. And Cindy, you're the same. When you're young, you kind of mold yourself. You're so malleable and you kind of mold yourself together. But when you're older, you sit in your ways and your partner's sit in their ways. And that's where the good communication is way more important than even early on in your relationship or a relationship that's much younger. Because now I've got to take my lifestyle that I'm so stuck with and I really like and it really works for me. And we've got to take your lifestyle that you really like and you're really stuck with and that really works for you. And we've got to find a way to mold ourselves with each other and in this dance. So that's where communication is even more important and more relevant, especially as you get older and meet somebody in a much older stage.
Absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree with all of that, especially the getting stuck in a certain, you know, you start getting very stuck in your ways and you like how you're doing things. And I think for me, I've made more wrong choices than right choices. So I'm certainly making better choices.
Were you looking or had you kind of given up and thought, well, I'm going to be a bachelor for the rest of my life?
Both. I would fluctuate between the two. I would wake up some days thinking, come on, this could still happen for you, Craig. You're doing okay. And then I would, on more negative days, I think, no, well, I'm done. This is not going to happen for me. And I've messed it up or I missed the boat. You know, so that's come and gone. That opportunity's come and gone. And you know what the other thing is, and this is what's scary, and is that I am 52, and
she's like, oh Jesus, I made a terrible mistake.
when people would say, Craig, we want you to meet this lady, and they would introduce me to someone, and I'd be like, that looks like I'm not attracted to that lady. That's an older lady.
Oh.
And then you think, hold on a second, Craig, look in the mirror. You ain't all that. You are, you know what I mean? So you have to be realistic. I mean, I don't know how, you know, we don't see ourselves as others do. And I'm constantly being reminded of you're not that young anymore, Craig.
Yeah, but you also work with young people. I do. Right?
I'm double the age of some of the people in this. Right. We Will Rock You cast. That is the reality. You know,
but that keeps you young. But at the same time, you kind of forget that you're.
You
not.
Can lose perspective. Yeah, you can. Yeah. You got to be realistic as well. You have to be realistic. So I was fluctuating between it's never going to happen for me, and then trying to have days of being hopeful, thinking maybe it still will.
Jesus, Dr. Hanan, I don't know what's happening over there, but it sounds like he's getting more and more outrageous.
He's brought the Flymo Moa into the room.
Do you live next door to Evel Knievel? I mean, what's the story?
No. I couldn't actually hear it. Oh, my God, that's so funny. I'm wearing noise-canceling earphones. I can't actually hear it. I took it off, and it's loud. I'm going to speak to the neighbor afterwards.
Someone said maybe it's one of Dr. Hanan's patients that had escaped.
All right. Cindy, have you had to deal with people joking about like gray ball hairs and shit like that?
Oh,
or,
no.
Or is that not something you've had to worry about yet?
I think I joke more about that. No one's mocked me about that. Now, Craig's good looking. So it's.
Yes.
It kind of. He gets away with that.
If he was 52 with a big boop and like he was and he didn't look after himself and he wasn't so fit, obviously you wouldn't have even looked his way, right? Because I'm saying you're superficial, but there's old and there's old, right?
Exactly, and I'm very much into fitness, so that's one thing we share. I really love that. If I don't work out, I have to work out every day. I at least do something, or walk, or yoga, or and Craig's the same in that area. And I never thought I would find someone who would match that crazy, because I can't function. My day can't function if I didn't work out. Like yesterday, we had a braai, and we knew we were going to eat a lot, so we just went, oh, look, let's just
we quickly
do
did
something
it.
Quickly.
Wow.
So
that's very cool.
And that kid, sexy. I like it that he, you know, it doesn't matter what age. I've never had a boyfriend, let alone fiance, who works out and who's like understands that part of fitness, or just it just helps a bit with the endorphins.
Just so you know, I'm doing it a lot more for you. I don't want to do it as much as I'm doing it.
You do though.
I'm doing it because
you should watch out. He could lose the use of his hips if you carry on like this.
I'm in quite a lot of pain. I'm in a lot of pain as I sit here. Just want you to know.
All right, well, Doc. Oh wow, that's real love. Massaging someone's feet. I mean, I can't imagine anything worse. I've never loved anyone enough to massage their feet. God bless you, Cindy. You're very lucky. And I think, Doc, the prognosis here is very good for these two, right?
I'm the lucky one.
Yeah, there's such a nice vibe, as you can see. And as you can tell, you know, you can date somebody, you can date a million people, and it just doesn't work out. But once you meet the person that where it fits, you can see. You can actually feel the vibe and the energy. It's beautiful. It just works for sure.
Well, there we go. All right, Doc, thank you very much for this morning. And Cindy, thank you for joining us. I know you were looking to have a nice quiet start to your Monday. But
she's got a day off today and she's up,
up early and looking as good as you do at this time
wearing
of the morning.
Wearing lipstick and everything, yeah.
I know. It's so impressive. Very nice. All right. Well, there we go. What a winner for you. I mean,
thank you,
dude,
babe.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. No, she's the most extraordinary person I've ever met. Yeah.
Cheers, Cindy. Amazing. Nice to see you. Lovely to meet you.
Bye, girl.
Damn.
I remember I was in a relationship with
a substantially 50, older man,
51 or something, 51 or 52, and we started dating, and I was about 34. There was a 16-year age gap, so excuse my maths. I've also blocked some of it out of my memory. not because of his age, but just because of the way it turned out. But I had absolutely no problem with the age difference. And I was very attracted to him. But I do remember the once he was a rower in his younger years, and he would still like row on a rowing machine. And I remember watching him going into the sea. We lived at the ocean. And I said to him, you know, you look like a 30-year-old man from the back. And he said, and from the front. And I just kept quiet.
Just keep walking ahead of me. Just keep walking ahead of me.
We laughed at that.
Oh, wow. But, all right. Well,
yeah.
We have much more to get to in the next hour. And we will return in just a couple of seconds, so don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com, Monday morning. CliffCentral.com.